Hey guys, how was worship downstairs? Wasn't it awesome? Hey, doesn't that bring you just so much closer to God? It did. So, this series has been so good because we could stand up here and tell you what to believe. But instead, we've given you the verses, we've given and we've asked you to look up stuff. And hasn't it become more real to you? Hey, it's become more practical. You can apply that stuff to your life. I think this series has been one of the best that we've done. Okay, and so today, does God restore? Last week we heard about does God heal, and we realized that God, yes, he does heal, but does God restore? And so what I want you to do is in pairs, or if there's only three at a table, I want you to discuss what is the worst thing you have ever done where you needed somebody to forgive you. Be brave and share. Okay. Wow, that looked like you guys had some serious conversations there. My story is, now I've got lots of stories, but this story particularly jumps out at me because I was my mom's angel. I could do nothing wrong, okay? But one thing that I did that I was very sneaky was that I used to steal from my mom. I used to steal a bit of money, but mostly sweets and stuff from my mom. And she never found out. Well, I don't think she ever found out. But I went to church one day, and while I was at church, the pastor preached about stealing and, you know, how's your heart, and that you had to ask for forgiveness, like to ask God for forgiveness, but also ask other people for forgiveness when you've hurt them. And I had to go home. And I just remember sobbing my heart out because I had let my mom down. I mean, those sweets were good. Those sweets were really good. But I had to confess that I had blown it. And that was really hard. That's probably one of the hardest things I ever had to do was because my mom couldn't believe that I had been stealing. And it was like, you, out of everybody else. And I'm like, sorry, I didn't mean to. So yeah, when you have to ask for forgiveness, it's not always easy, is it? No. Okay. So what we are going to explore today is there's five tables and we're going to explore five stories of people who blew it. And what I want you to do is I want you to read the story at your table. And I want you to find one person who's good at telling stories, and they have to come up here, and you're going to share your story with us. But I also want you to also share how God restored them, because each of those stories, God restores. And so I want you to read the story, find out how God restores, and then come share it with us all. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes for that. Okay. In the Garden of Eden, and it was beautiful. And God gave them dominion over everything. They could rule over everything. They could eat whatever they wanted. They could do whatever they liked, except the one thing they were not allowed to eat from the tree of good and evil. There was one tree they weren't allowed to go to. They weren't allowed to touch. But they touched it. You're right. They touched the tree. The devil came up and he told Eve, if you take a bite, you'll actually become as clever as God. You'll know the difference between good and evil. And so Eve took a bite. Now, I think Adam was there. I think he was holding the stepladder as she got up to get it. Because when she came down, she gave him a bite and he took a bite. And so that broke God's heart. Because out of everything, they disobeyed him. But now, how did God restore them? You know that God killed. Because remember, it opened their eyes. They saw that they were naked. Do you remember that part? So, and they were hiding, and they put fig leaves, what we presume is fig leaves, as clothes. And how did God restore them? God should have killed them. Okay, he did kick them out the garden. But before he kicked them out the garden, he killed an animal and took their fur and made clothes for them. I think that's restoring them. Hey, he covered them up. He covered up their sin. Okay, he did kick them out the garden because we know that sin always has a consequence. Okay, and then what happened? They were out the garden, but he still had a relationship with them. They still worshipped him. Okay, so our next story is King Nineveh, and it's you guys. Would you come up and tell us the story? You're not allowed to read the story. You've got to tell us the story.
Okay, so basically this is the story of King Nineveh. Jeez. I almost mispronounced that. Okay, so basically it all started with the kingdom of Nineveh and how these, so like they were having their little trek in Nineveh, and they said that it was going to take them 3 days to get through the city. And then the Lord told them that the city of Nineveh was going to fall in 45 days, didn't it? 40 days. Oh, yeah, 40 days and 40 nights. And then, so these guys were all like, oh, gosh, no. We can't lose our city. We can't lose our people and all that stuff. So then Jonah decided, I'm going to wear some sackcloth and I'm going to fast. And I'm going to make sure that all our people will wear sackcloth and fast and ask for forgiveness from our Lord. So they're like, Lord God, please, please, please forgive us, Lord. We can't be letting our people suffer here. And then the Lord was watching over them, and they were like, yeah. He was like, yeah, no, I see you guys. You guys are asking for forgiveness. Y'all are ready to be saved. So I'm going to put my blessing on y'all. And he was like, he did his thing, you know. And then, and yeah, and then they were all saved, and they were happy.
So there's a city where the king is evil, and they fasted and prayed, and God saw that, and God didn't destroy them like he had promised he was going to do it. Okay, King David.
King David, they went to war against Ammon, and then they besieged the capital, but David, he didn't go. He stayed, which is unkingly, but he stayed. Then one evening, he got up and he saw this beautiful woman, and he's like, ish, I gotta have her. So he was basically a pervert. Then he found out about her, and then he sent messages to get her, and then he slept with her. Meanwhile, she's married. So that's another one. Then a woman conceived. Then she's like, look, I'm pregnant. So David had a told the commander of the army to put the husband in the front line so he can be killed, and he died. So then she mourned for him for a few days, and then David took her to her house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But so the Lord was like, can't do that. So David wrote a psalm later. He's like, when he did the sin, the Lord's hand was heavy. So the Lord was like giving him trouble. He lost in the siege. Things started going against him. But then when he confessed his sins, the Lord forgave him. And then he came back and he won in the end.
So David confessed and God accepted him back. I mean, he killed somebody and he took the guy's wife. I don't think there's a worse sin than that. But we'll hear about that later. Now we're going to hear about the prodigal son.
Hi. Okay, so there was this man, and he had two sons. And the younger son said to his father, give me my share of the estate. So then the father split up the estate, and the younger son got his share. Then he gathered up everything he had and all of his wealth and spent it in the city. And then after that, there was a great famine in the city, and then everyone went poor and broke and stuff like that. So then he goes to his dad's servants, and he says, do any of you have food to spare for me? And none of them do. And he tells them he's going to go to his dad and ask him for forgiveness. So then he goes to his dad and he says, oh, dad, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against the Lord and heaven and everything. Please forgive me, I want to come back with you. And then his dad runs up to him, gives him a kiss, and hugs him and says, I forgive you. And then he tells his servants to bring him a nice robe and put a ring on his finger, and then they celebrate. So, yeah.
Even before the dad, thank you, even before the dad's dead, the kid's like, I want my share. And he goes and squanders it. He goes and messes, he goes and has parties. I mean, he doesn't even invest it. He goes and has big parties and then runs out and comes back, and the dad accepts him back. That's big of the dad. The thief on the cross.
Okay. Okay, so this story is about two criminals who are sent to be prosecuted. And then, so Jesus is like, he's like, God, can you please forgive these men? For they have sinned, but they can, like, get another chance, because everybody deserves a second chance in life. Okay, and so they were saved. So the other criminal was like, he was ungrateful that he was just saved from dying. He continued, he was very arrogant. And then the other thief was just like, don't you fear God? I mean, he just saved our lives and you're still carrying on. So it just, the other criminal rebuked him for what he had done. And then, yeah. So they were saved. They were saved. That's how God restored them. They were saved, yeah. And then God took him to heaven.
When you call on God, he answers. And Simon Peter.
Okay, so this story is about after Jesus had died. And so when some of the disciples were chilling around the fire, and Peter was there, Simon Peter. And so first a lady came to him, one of the servant girls of the high priest, and she asked if he was one of Jesus' disciples, and he was like, nah, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not one of Jesus' disciples. And then, like, later on, she asked him again, and she was like, no, but surely you have to be, like, you were from the same place that he was, and he was like, no, I'm not. And then, again, like, he was with a group of people, and they asked, and they were like, aren't you one of Jesus' disciples? And then he was like, no. And then, just as he said it the third time, crowed, twice, and then he remembered what Jesus had said to him before he, like, died, and he had said that before the cock crows twice, you will disown me three times. And then Peter was just, like, broken, and then he, like, cried. And then afterwards, when Jesus had risen from the dead, he was talking to Peter, and he was like, Peter, do you love me? And Peter was like, yes, Jesus, I love you. And then he was like, a second time, Peter, do you love me? And then he was like, yes, Jesus, I love you. And then Jesus was like, Peter, do you love me? And then Peter was like upset, because he was like, Jesus, of course, you know everything, you know I love you. And so basically he was just asking Peter if he loves him, like, three times, to basically say, I forgive you for the three times that you denied me. And so, yeah, that was the story.
Whoa. God restores even when we reject. So how does this apply to our lives? I want you to. So firstly, so we have Adam and Eve, who God told them not to do any, to eat the fruit, and they disobeyed. It was blatant disobedience. We have the king of Nineveh, who was evil and cruel. Do you have, are you a bully? Are you cruel with your mouth? You have King David, who slept with somebody else, so there's immorality, and even killed somebody. And remember, we said that killing isn't just about actually physically killing somebody. If you hate somebody, that's as good as killing that person. So if that's something that you struggle with, there's a prodigal son. Are you a Christian and have decided that you don't care, that you're going to do the things that you want to do? You want to go to parties no matter what. Is that something that maybe that you would do? Have you ever given your heart to the Lord? If you haven't and you feel like it's maybe time to give your heart to the Lord, the thief on the cross, because he didn't really know God. He knew that there was a God, but he hadn't made any peace with the God right up until the end. So if you haven't made peace with God, maybe that's a station that you want to stand at. Or maybe Simon Peter, maybe you've sat in a group of friends and they've mocked God and they've used his name in vain, and you haven't stood up and said anything. You've just kept quiet. So what I want you to do now is I want you to find one of the six stations that most applies to you. We're not going to ask you why or anything like that. We just want you just to stand there. And it's between you and God. You're going to make peace with God in that area of your life. So you've got 5 minutes to just spend your time standing there and just speak to God about it. Okay, you can go. Pray. probably the most powerful story to me out of all these stories is David, King David's story, where you pointed out one at a time that where he should have been out fighting, he was at home being lazy, lying around. He went out, he saw a beautiful young lady, he wanted her, and he was going to have her no matter what, despite that she was married. He slept with her, found out that she was pregnant. He puts her husband right in front of the war, knowing that he's going to get killed, and waited for the news that he was killed, and then takes her for himself. And you know, and yet, when he confessed, you know what God said? He says, he's a man after my own heart. That's how God restores. No matter what we've done, no matter what we've said, you know what, if we go back to God and we say, God, I've blown it. He'll say, you're a man after my own heart. You're a woman after my own heart. And so does God, is he a loving father? We've seen story after story after story after story how God restores when we ask God to forgive us. We have to come to a place where we say, God, I've blown it. But we need to confess. We need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And he's so quick to forgive us. If you feel that hasn't helped and you feel like you still got something that is heavy on your heart, or if you've never given your heart to Jesus and you're like the thief on the cross who says, you know what, I know there's a God, but I don't have a personal relationship with him. Why don't you come speak to either me, Pastor Mark, to Ashley, to Rose, and we'll talk to you. Can we just pray now and just ask the Lord just to help us? Lord God, we thank you that you love us. Thank you that you created us to be with you. Father, we know that you know us, and you know that we are going to slip up time and time and time again, Lord. Sometimes we like the prodigal son that just we just do our own thing. Sometimes we like Adam and Eve where you tell us not to do and we just disobey. Lord, sometimes we are like Peter who, when we're with our friends, we don't stand up for you. Lord God, I ask that you help us to grow closer to you, Lord. Father, I ask that you just draw us closer to you right now and help us to bring our burdens to you, Lord. We lay them at the cross. And Father, if we don't know you, won't you, during this holiday now, help us to get to know you in a deeper way? We pray this in your precious and awesome name, Lord. May you be with each one of these teens who are going out to have a holiday now, Lord. May they have an awesome time, but help them not to forget that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you reign in their hearts. Be with them now, Lord. We ask this in your precious and awesome name. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now, from today, we are on holiday. On Friday night, we're not on holiday, we're going to have a party. So if you want to have a party, and it's a cool party, you can come here. Otherwise, we will see you in January when schools go back. Okay? Otherwise, we'll see you in church downstairs, because hopefully you're still coming to church and you'll be at church downstairs. May you have an awesome holiday. But listen, God bless, and we're going to miss you guys. But see you next year. God bless you. Bye.